Okay, perfect timing.
So he made him a happy man.
Yes,
he was happy before that. Now you really made him a happy man.
Yeah. Okay. So let's
not just the Mishnah Berurah. It's a very special Mishnah.
Thanks. Okay. Well, so we're on page 304, and this is Simon Tuf Reish Pei Tes. Peches, I'm sorry, I said Peches, I meant Peches. I'm sorry. You know what? That was the last year.
I was going to say I left you off there.
Yeah, we're on.
You off at hay, and you must have.
Yeah, we're on. We're on page Kuf Nun Gimel, okay, which is the equivalent of 305. That's where we got to. Yeah. Let's just review what we need to know. We spoke about a case of someone who is leaving before Purim, and he won't have access to a Megillah on Purim, and the Mechaber allows him to read the Megillah as early as the 11th, the 12th, and the 13th, just that the Mechaber insists that he leave out a bracha. And then he quotes an opinion, which is the opinion of the Arzarua, that you could read the Megillah as early as Rosh Chodesh Adar. So that was the last discussion that we had in Siman Tuf Reish Pei Ches. So we're going to start now Tuf Reish Pei Tes, and let me bring you up to date. We said that even though Kriyas HaMegillah is a classical case of a mitzvah saseh shazman groma, it's a time-bound mitzvah, and therefore women should be exempt, but because of the principle called Af Hein Hayu Ba'osa Nes, they were included in Mikra Megillah. And the Mechaber addresses the following question. That's okay as far as women are concerned, but what about as far as Avodim are concerned? Normally, the status of an Eved in Halach is equivalent to that of an Isha. And therefore, if women are obligated, the Eved is also obligated. And indeed, he quotes one opinion to that effect. But at the end of the day, he paskins that Eved is potter from the mitzvah of Megillah. We'll explain why. Unless he's an Eved Meshuchrar, which means that he basically has the status of a ger, meaning his master gave him a get shuchur and he redeemed, he freed him from his avdus. Then we discussed why would I ever think otherwise? A ger is a full-fledged Jew. He's obligated in all the mitzvahs. Why does the Mechaber feel compelled to tell me that the ger, or the Eved Meshuchar, who also has the status of a ger, is obligated in Mikra Megillah? Why would I think otherwise? And we suggested, because since this miracle, this mitzvah is based on Af Hein Hayu Ba'osa Nes, meaning that our ancestors were redeemed and were saved from the gzeirah of Achashverosh of Haman, that makes sense in terms of a person who has tradition, he has genealogy that goes back to the time of Mordechai and Esther. But in the case of a ger, clearly his ancestors were not included in the gzeirah of Haman, they weren't saved in the salvation of Purim. I might think that in this particular case, Gerim and Avodim are not obligated in the mitzvah of Megillah, because again, they don't have to claim that this miracle was relevant to them. The miracle of Purim was not relevant to them because they stam from various goyim that were not part of the Gzeira, and they didn't need the Hatzolah.
And all these people are not at the same status, right? I mean,
I would say yes. If again, we'll get to Noshim in just a second, because that's going to be a whole discussion. We'll get to Ketanim as well. But if we focus for a moment on Gerim and Avodim Mishuchrarim, those categories include an upgrade, so to speak, to the same identical status as a man, as anyone, any Jew, because Lechora, they have a full-fledged status and they accept upon themselves all the mitzvahs. There's no difference between their, again, Lamaskana, again, the Havamina, we tried to make a claim and a logical reason why they should be exempt from this mitzvah. But at the end of the day, they have the same identical status as anyone else. Why? Because a ger is obligated in all the mitzvahs. That's all, period. And the mitzvah Megillah is included. Oh, now we can talk about Noshim, and we can talk about Ketanim. Okay, so this is going to be the subject of the Mechaber here on the top of page 306. So let's go slowly because we're not really up to that yet. What we're up to now is Se'if Beis. And in Sif Beis, we're going to discuss a principle called Yatza Motzi, which means even if I have already fulfilled my obligation, I can still be Motzi you, I can be your shliach, so to speak, your agent, and I can, so to speak, vicariously allow you to fulfill your chiyu. And that's called Echad HaKorei V'Echad HaShomea Min HaKorei Yatza Yedei Chovaso. It doesn't matter whether you read the Megillah on your own or you listen to the Megillah that's being read by someone else, that too is a fulfillment of your mitzvah. And that is an application of the general principle called Yatza Motzi, that even though I fulfilled my obligation, I could still do something on your behalf. So for example, If I already read the Torah, let's say I'm a shliach. Let's say I'm the shliach tzibur to read the Torah. I'm the Baal Korei, right? And I read it in one minyan. I can still read it in a second minyan. In the case of Megillah, it means not only can I motzi you in Megillah if you hear my Megillah reading. If I haven't read the Megillah yet, and this is my first time around, but even if I read the Megillah 15 times on this same day of Purim, I can still be motzi you and read on your behalf. Again, the question is, do you and I have to have kavana? Maybe in the case of the shliach who's reading it publicly in front of an entire community, excuse me, the built-in assumption is that he has kavana to be motzi anyone who could possibly hear his kriya. But as far as those who are listening, and they want to fulfill their personal obligation, they have to have in mind specifically, again, the Baal Korei might have a general kavana, you know, that includes anyone in the audience, but the person who's listening to the Megillah, he has to have kavana latzeis, that with this hearing of the Megillah, he'll fulfill a mitzvah. And that's just an application of a general universal principle of Shomea Ka'ona, that the person who's listening has to have in mind, for example, if you're blowing the shofar on my behalf, I have to have in mind that with my listening to your shofar, I fulfill my obligation of shofar. Now, Phil, you mentioned before the case of ketanim. So if you look in the Mechaber, he says, Mechanchim es ha-ketanim l'krosa, that we train the ketanim to read the Megillah. And that doesn't mean that they have to be trained to read the Megillah with all the complications of trop and so forth and so on, but they have to be included in chinuch as far as the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. Now for them, for the child, all they need to do is hear the Megillah. In fact, they cannot read the Megillah on behalf of a gadol, and the reason for that is because the principle of yatza, motzi, that if I have an obligation, I can read it for you, or if I have an obligation to blow the shofar, I can blow the shofar on your behalf, that only applies to what's called a bar chiyuva, a katan, although he has the mitzvah of chinuch, that's a training, but he's not a bar chiyuva. Until he becomes bar mitzvah, he's not obligated in the mitzvah. So on the one hand, the katan is going to be encouraged and perhaps even required to come and listen to the Megillah, and that's chinuch, but on the other hand, he cannot read the Megillah for anyone else.
What about the other people that are chayav here that are listed in this list? They can't go say...
Well, again, we're going to get to Nashim on the next page, but leaving out Nashim, you're talking about Gerim and Avodim Shukrarim. They are full-fledged obligated. There's no difference. Okay. Again, I don't want to confuse it because I made a big deal to explain why the Mechaber had to tell me. And I actually justified the Havamina that maybe a Ger would not be obligated in the Mikra Megillah. But erase that from your mind so you don't get confused. The bottom line is that a Ger has the same exact status as anyone else, and he can be motzi anyone. So the Baal Korei for Megillah doesn't, you know, I have to check his genealogy and find out, is he a ger, is he not a ger? It's totally irrelevant. When it comes to Noshim, that we're going to have a whole long discussion about. When it comes to Ketanim, as we said before, there's no way, no how that he can read the Megillah on behalf of anyone else. That's because he's a lav bar chiyuva, he's not obligated in the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. Now remind me, because I'm liable to forget, that when we get to the discussion on the next page about women reading the Megillah for men, I want to know whether a woman could read the Megillah for another woman. I might forget that, so please remind me. Because that's not addressed here in the Shulchan Aruch, so we have to address that question. that's what it says here on the third line in the Mechaber, if you want to underline those words, Vahu sheyishma mibni shehu chayav b'kriyasa. You can only fulfill your obligation if you listen and hear the Megillah from someone who's reading it, who is himself is obligated in Kriya. Again, he himself may have fulfilled his obligation. As we said before, he read the Megillah 15 times today. But nevertheless, he's obligated in the midst of Megillah. He's not obligated this moment because he's already discharged his obligation, but he's a bar chiyuv. He's a person who's categorized as a bar chiyuv. He's chayav in the mitzvah. Now, there are three categories of individuals who are not chayav in any mitzvahs whatsoever. We spoke about the katan. He's below bar mitzvah age, or bat mitzvah age in the case of a girl. And now we want to add another two categories. That's called cheresh and shota. Now, a cheresh is not considered a bal chiyuva, nor is a shota considered a bar chiyuva. And there's a great similarity between a cheresh and a shota, because I hope this won't surprise you, but a cheresh is not a deaf person. People mistakenly think that a cheresh is someone who's deaf. What is the halachic definition of a cheresh? He's a deaf mute.
Mute.
Very important. Your average deaf person is not a cheresh. He's not mute. He can speak. And he's taught to speak. But there are people who never are so challenged, if you want to use that word, they're so disabled, that they cannot hear, they cannot speak. Speak meaning in any intelligible way. There's no way we could understand them. Now, the poskim in contemporary life have a whole discussion about a cheresh yochel dabri mitoch haksav. Even though he can't speak, but he can write. And he can communicate by writing. That's a very interesting... So I actually published an article on this topic. Don't ask me the details, because it was about 40 years ago when I published the article. But it's a very fascinating contemporary issue, because today they have all sorts of methods of teaching a cheresh how to communicate by... It's writing in the classical sense. It doesn't even have to be writing. They can do all sorts of things to communicate with us.
If but I'm talking about... ALS who can hear you but can't speak...
If he can hear you
and he can't speak,
so the question is whether he's a cheresh or not. I'm not going to get into all these issues. These are issues that have to be taken up under research papers. So let's not get. I don't want to get bogged down. I'm just saying the cheresh that we're talking about is a deaf mute.
I know somebody fairly well that. It's very hard for him to speak, but he would mouth the words
I'm saying everything has to. This is a gigantic area of halach. If you think in the next 5 minutes we're going to solve the problem of who is a cheresh here, don't even dream of that. A cheresh is someone who's a lav bar chiyuva. He's not chayev at all. And the reason for that is because he's eino shomea v'eino medaber. He doesn't hear and he doesn't speak. Now, what happens if he can speak? So in general, he's not a cheresh, even though he can't hear, but he can speak. He's not a cheresh. Why? Because he's obviously working with a full deck, if you follow him. And he has all his marbles. The fact that he can communicate with us means he's not a cheresh. Now, it could be, and that's what we're going to take up in the Mishnah Berurah in a minute, that with regard to Mikra and Megillah, we might have a new category of a cheresh. Somebody who's not a cheresh in universal terms, in Kol Torah Kula, he is a cheresh here with regard to Megillah. Let's leave cheresh for a moment, and let's go on to the case of a shota. A shota is also not what we think it is. We think a shota is someone who's mentally retarded. That's not what a shota is. A shota is someone who, I would say, don't quote me on this, but he's psychologically retarded. And the Gemara in Sota goes through four categories of a shota. A shota is, as we would say, humanly, in terms of relationships, in terms of his level of maturity, is retarded. It's again, it's not a person who can't, he doesn't know how to add 1 + 1 = 2. That's not what we're talking about. A shote, I'll give you one example. A shote is someone who rips off his clothes publicly, or a shote might be someone who sleeps in a cemetery. So we're talking about more psychological terms, not, you know, we're not talking about intellectual capacity and what his IQ level is.
That's not even dealt with here in the Mishnah Berurah Shote.
Okay, the Mishnah Berurah wants you to know that if you want to know what a shote is, you have to study many, many different sugyas and shas.
So usually imbecile is translated as a poor definition.
Very poor definition. That's why I say, you know, the trouble with us is that we translate words from the Torah and from halacha into English, and trust me, it's more often than not that it loses so much in translation. There's so many examples of this where people come to mistaken conclusions because they have this art school translation part. Nothing against art school, I'm a big fan of art school, but very often you translate words into another language and you lose the halachic import, you know. Anyway, having said that, if you take a look at the Bir Halacha here in the last few lines on the word Cheresh, he says that from the Shulchan Aruch you get the impression that a Cheresh is an Eino Bar Chiyuva Klal. And the word Klal here means that the Mishnah Berurah is organizing obligation and non-obligation into three different categories. We think that either it's A or B, either you're obligated or you're not obligated. No, there's a middle category. There's someone who's somewhat obligated, but not totally obligated. So we're going to see, for example, a woman is obligated, but not totally obligated. So she might not have the obligation to be motzi a man, but she's obligated. The cheresh is someone who's not obligated at all. And what's the difference between saying somebody is obligated but not totally obligated and someone who's not obligated at all? The question is, if somebody who's not obligated at all can read the Megillah for himself, and the answer is, he doesn't even have the responsibility to read the Megillah himself. He's simply not obligated. He's mufka. He's completely excluded from the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. In a woman's case, she may have a different obligation than a man, but she's definitely obligated. So she has to hear the Megillah, and she may have to, if there's no one around, she has to read the Megillah to herself, but not so in the case of Cheresh. Now, let's understand who is a Cheresh. Again, universally, I told you a Cheresh is someone who's a deaf mute. But in Mikra Megillah terms, we have a new definition of a Cheresh. And that you'll see in the Mishnah Berurah number Hey, which is approximately seven lines up before the end of the page. One, two, three, four, five, maybe it's six lines. No, seven lines up from the end of the page. Says the Mishnah Berurah, a cheresh hainu hamedaber v'eino shomea klal. This would be more of a classic English definition, meaning an English translation of what a cheresh is. A cheresh is a deaf person. Does a deaf person speak? Maybe yes, maybe no. But as far as Megillah is concerned, that's irrelevant. I'm not even going to ask the question whether he speaks or not. In Megillah, all I'm going to ask is, does he hear? And if the answer is he doesn't hear, then he's a cheresh as far as Megillah is concerned. The afal gav de bi alma, meaning universally as far as all other halachas is concerned, kaimalon de lo ishmiel liozno yotza, you might have assumed, well, you know what? I don't. Even if he doesn't hear, as long as he speaks, that then he's included in the mitzvah. And even though if he, let's say for example, a person who speaks and cannot hear, he's obligated in Kriyat Shema. He has to read Kriyat Shema. He's going to recite Kriyat Shema. Does he hear a word? Not a single word. Doesn't matter. He's not a cheresh. Why? Because he's a yodel ledaber. But in the case of Megillah, here we have a new category. He's got to be a shomer. Meaning, the essence of Megillah is not really the active element of reading, but rather the passive element of hearing. If he can't hear, he's not included in the mitzvah of Megillah. Why? Because the mitzvah of Megillah essentially is hearing the Megillah. We may need a reading in the Megillah in order to set up a hearing in the Megillah, but you know, reading alone is not enough. You need not only reading, but you have the capacity to hear it. And Hacha says the Mishnah, why is hearing so critical? Because the essence of the mitzvah, Megillah, is Mishum Pirsume Nisa. Pirsume Nisa means to be able to hear the Megillah. And if you don't hear the reading of the Megillah, then you're incapable of Pirsume Nes. Pirsume Nes means to hear the Megillah. And therefore, Hechmiru Bo Yosef is a separate stricture that only applies, a stringency that only applies to Megillah. If you can't hear the Megillah, you may be the most beautiful Baal Kori in the world. There's no one like you on the face of the earth, but you can't hear the Megillah, you're out. Out means that you don't even have a chiv to hear the Megillah, you can't hear it, but I mean to read the Megillah at all. There's no separate mitzvah of reading without the ability to be chayev in hearing the Megillah. Dashmiel li ozno hu li ikuva. It's absolutely critical that he hears the Megillah. And since he cannot hear the Megillah, he is out. Okay, then we get to the Beis Yosef. Now, if you take a look at the Beis Yosef, this is in the Be'er Halacha, the last two lines. Achen misperoso. The Beis Yosef, Shekosav de Mishum Persume Nisa, who the Mashma Lechora, to Rak Le'inyan Lahotzi Acherim Shehem Pikhim. And now we turn to 306 Tzarech. So he says the Beis Yosef is not going to exclude this Cheresh, and again we're talking about a Cheresh who's Yodel Adaber, he just can't hear. He's not going to exclude him from the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. He's excluded from being Motzi Acherim Yedei Chovaso. He cannot be Motzi Pikeach, who's capable of hearing. His reading, although again, as we said before, he's the most beautiful reading in the world, he can't be Motzi Acherim, meaning Pikchim, who can hear. They are not going to be Yotze by hearing it from a Cheresh She'eno Yochel Lishmoa. So again, is he capable of reading the Megillah? Yes. What grade would you give his reading Megillah? Qualitatively, he's an A++. But we can't be Yotze from his Kriya. However, he's obligated in the midst of Shmiah. Well, again, he can't hear, so he's not obligated technically in the midst of Shmiah.
He can't fulfill it.
He can't fulfill the midst of Shmiah, and therefore he can't be obligated in the midst of Shmiah. But he's obligated to read the Megillah. His reading will not be effective for someone else, but it'll be effective for himself. So again, if we go back to the original position that we said that this Cheresh is completely excluded from the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah, meaning because he doesn't have Shmiah, therefore he's not included in the parasha of Shmiah Samegillah, then he's not obligated at all. But the way the Beis Yosef formulates it, it seems that he's obligated in the mitzvah of Kriya Samegillah. His Kriya will not be effective on behalf of a Shomer who's a Pikeach, but he himself is obligated in the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. And that's what he points out here at the top of 306 in the Be'er Halacha, that he's obligated to hear the Megillah, right? Tzrichim, we cannot hear it from someone who's incapable of hearing it, but as far as he himself is concerned, he has to read the Megillah. So again, just to summarize, number one, Chiddush number one is that there's a new category of Cheresh that's only relevant in one area of Halach, and that's Mikra Megillah, and that's a person who can't hear. He's simply deaf. He can communicate, he reads, his Dibur is A++, but yet he is Potter. Now what does it mean he's Potter? Here we get to the second point. According to the Machaber, it seems that he's not even Chayav at all. And that's what the Mishnah Berurah claims here in his opening line in Sifkat and Hay, that Afagav to be Alma, etc., etc. But here, Le'inya Megillah, that it's Pirsum Anes, if he can't hear the Megillah, he's completely excluded from the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah. However, according to the Beis Yosef, that's point number three here, he is obligated in the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. He doesn't have the same level of obligation of a Pikeach because he's not obligated in Shmiyas HaMegillah, and that's quite understood because he doesn't have the capacity of hearing the Megillah, but he is Chayim in Kriyas HaMegillah.
So would the terminology be that he's Pater from...
It depends. Are you going according to the Machaber or are you going according to the Beis Yosef? If you're going according to the Machaber, the way the Mishnah Berurah in his first paragraph defines the sheet of the Machaber, that Hachalinya Megillah, etc., etc., Chmir Bo Yoser, and he's not Chayav at all, which again you'll see in the Bir Halacha, three lines up from the bottom of the beginning of this paragraph. He says, "Milosh Shulchan Aruch Mashma Di Eino Bar Chiyuva Klal." So the answer is he doesn't have to read the Megillah at all. If, on the other hand, you're going according to the if you're going according to the Beis Yosef, it would seem that he does have a chiyuv to read the Megillah. Obviously, he's not chayiv in Shmias HaMegillah, but he has to read the Megillah and have to read the Megillah for himself. No one else can be Yotze with his Kriya, but he himself is obligated to read the Megillah. Now, there's a lot more here about Cheresh, but let's fast forward to an Isha, and what's exactly her status? So if you take a look on the top, the Mechaber on page 306, he writes the following. Yesh omrim shahanoshim einon motzios es hanoshim. That's even though we group together an Isha together with a Ger and an Eved Shenishtachrer, and it sounded like it's all one entity, and women therefore would be obligated in the full obligation, no different than a man, which means that a woman could be motzi a man, but he quotes the opinion of the Bahag, the Baal Halachas Gedolos, that a woman doesn't share the same obligation as a man, which means that she cannot read the Megillah on behalf of a man. Why is this so? What is the difference here between the obligation of a woman and the obligation of a man according to this sheet of the Esh Omer, which is the Bahag? Says the Mishnah Berurah that even though a woman could light Ner Chanukah on behalf of a man, meaning that in Ner Chanukah women share the same identical chiyuv of a man because of Afhein Hoyubosanes, and therefore logically the same principle should apply in the exact same way in the case of Mikra Megillah, Shani Mikra Megillah Dahavi Kimo Kriya B'Torah, Kriya Satorah, and Upsula Mipnei Kovet Atzibur.
And the menorah is babayit.
Correct. So that's a private mitzvah. Now, if this be the case, if you accept the Mishnah Berurah literally without embellishing it, then you come to the conclusion that if a woman would read the Megillah for a man at home in privacy, it's yachid for yachid. There's no tzibur. There's no issue of covered at tzibur. It should be fine. But he says the following. Afilu liyachid, even if she's reading it for one individual man, eino motzia, she cannot set up a Megillah reading and facilitate his fulfillment of his mitzvah. Mishum lo plug. Now, lo plug is a very tricky kind of principle, and it tells you that we're not going to get into minute distinctions between one case and the other. And what we're basically going to formulate or define here is that anyone who's not capable of reading the Megillah publicly and be motzi the tzibur is not capable of reading the Megillah privately to be motzi one individual. That's called lo plug. Even though logically there's no analogy between the two cases. One case in the tzibur is kavod tzibur. In the case of the yachid, there's no issue of kavod tzibur, but we apply the principle of lo plug. And again, if we wanted to research this would require hours and hours of work. When do we apply the principle of lo plug? When do we not? Now, he mentions the real reason why a woman can't be motzi a man according to the Bahag, which we'll get to later, but he mentions it here as previews of coming attractions. And he says, Efsha de'isha eina chayevus b'kriya rak lishma. There are two parts to the mitzvah of Megillah. One is reading the Megillah, and the other is hearing, listening to the Megillah reading. Women share the same identical chiyuv as a man. They're obligated in shmias haMegillah to hear the Megillah, but they don't share the reading, the obligation of the reading of the Megillah. And since a man has a mitzvah of reading a Megillah, he would only be yotze from someone else who shares that same obligation of Kriyas HaMegillah. Now, a woman doesn't share the obligation of Kriyas HaMegillah, and therefore she's a lav bar chiyuva as far as Kriyas HaMegillah. What if she wants to read the Megillah for herself or alternatively for another woman? That's fine. because then they're both on the same level of chiyuv as vis-a-vis Shmiya Samegillah. But if she wants to read for a man, then she doesn't have that same level of chiyuv as the man. She doesn't share the man's chiyuv of kriya, and therefore she's a lav bar chiyuva as far as the mitzvah of kriya Samegillah. She can't be motzi a man.
Why did you tell us before to remind you about the women reading for other women if it's here in the Mishnah Berurah?
Oh,
you told me when we come here, remind me.
Right.
Remind you to.
I'll tell you why. Because I wanted to know the following. Whenever you have a category of someone who is less of a bar chiyuva, but that middle category, where he does have some chiyuv, as opposed to the cheresh, the way he was medayik in the shulchan, cheresh has no chiyuv at all. What I would like to know is the question about whether that person who's in this middle category, he doesn't share the same full-fledged chiyuv, but he has a chiyuv nevertheless, what is his status vis-a-vis other members of the same group? And in the case of Nashim, that was saying that women don't have the same level of obligation as men, because women are only obligated in Shmiya but not in Kriya, can a woman read the Megillah on behalf of other members of the same group? And it would seem from the Mishnah Berurah here that the answer is yes, that she can read on behalf of the other members of the group. And to me, in my mind, that's a gewaldige chiddush. That's a big leniency. That logically, intuitively, I would have rejected this. I would have said that if a woman doesn't have the chi of kriya, then her kriya is not a kriya samegillah. She doesn't produce a shmiya, and therefore another woman who's obligated in shmiya cannot fulfill her obligation of shmiya through a woman who's not obligated in kriya, because her kriya cannot create a shmiya. That's what I would have said. And the reason why I asked you to remind me of this is because back on the previous page, which is Kuf Nun Gimel, the equivalent of 303, the Mishnah Berurah wants to know if a katan who's obligated can read the Megillah for another katan. Now, again, a katan can't be motzi a gadol because he doesn't have that chiyuv of a gadol, but he does have a chiyuv. He has a partial chiyuv, albeit a lower level of chiyuv than a gadol. He's chayv midin chinuch. So the question is, can a child who's less than bar mitzvah read the Megillah on behalf of another child? And once again, I would argue intuitively, if you would ask me in the middle of the night, I would say no. Why? Because he, in order for him to fulfill the mitzvah of chinuch, he has to hear a full-fledged Megillah reading with all its trimmings from a gadol. So if you take a look at the Bir Halacha back at the beginning of Tafresh Pei Tes, the first Bir Halacha, where it says V'nashim, he says L'chora im hi kvar yatsa yidei chovasa eina motzia li'isha cheres v'uedin l'katan.
This contradicts the Mishnah Berurah?
Well, yes and no. I'll tell you the good news and I'll tell you the confusing news. The good news is...
Why?
You're up to why already. You're a step ahead of me. Okay. I'm just trying to get the facts on the ground and know what the rules and the regulations are, and then I can ask why. What are the rules and regulations? A katan cannot read the Megillah on behalf of a gadol. That's regulation number one. He's a lav bar chiyuva. Now, can he read the Megillah on behalf of a woman? And the answer is no. Why? Because again, although both a katan and a woman share the following general description, they're not obligated on the same full level as a man, but they are both obligated. But nevertheless, they're obligated under two different categories. A woman is obligated under the category of shmiya. A katan is obligated under the category of chinuch. And therefore, a katan cannot read the Megillah on behalf of a woman. Even though, again, both share membership in that same unique club, you know, membership club called Chayav, but Eino Chayav Lagamri. Chayav Ktsas Velo Lagamri. But the answer is that two different reasons. And even though they belong to the same club, there are two subsets in the same club. A woman's obligation, as far as Shmiya is concerned, is a full-fledged obligation. A katan's obligation, which might include kriya and shmiya, but it's only chinuch. And therefore, that's even on a lower level than the obligation of a woman. Therefore, a katan is considered a lav bar chiyuva to read the Megillah sai on behalf of a man and sai on behalf of a woman. So a katan cannot be motzi a woman. A woman has to hear the Megillah reading from a gadol, not from a katan. But now let's go down to the next question. Can a katan read the Megillah on behalf of another katan? Here I would say, why not? Because both katanim share that same second level, second tier chiyuv of chinam. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah, and he says the following: "V'hu adin katan leisha ol katan acher." That a katan cannot read the Megillah on behalf of another katan. So imagine the two buddies; they're in fourth grade together. They're both 10 or 11 years old. So Reuven says to Shimon, "Shimon, you read the Megillah on my behalf. You're an excellent bal koreh. Your father has trained you well, or he sent you off for lessons. You know, he paid." If you would ask Berzon on the spot, I would say, why not? It's a great idea. Let Shimon read the Megillah. In fact, let's get together Shimon's whole class. They're in fourth grade in Moriah High School in Englewood, New Jersey, wherever it is. And let Shimon read the Megillah on behalf of the whole class. Again, the teacher, the Rebbe, he has to hear the Megillah from a gadol. His wife has to hear the Megillah from a gadol. But at least let Shimon read it for all his classmates. Comes along the Mishnah Berurah, he says no, he can't read it for his class. And he explains it in the following way. He says, Shenestami Kozeh, we have a suffix, we're not sure, Imheim Bechlal Arvus. Now, he's saying something amazing here. He's saying that Shimon could read the Megillah on behalf of the whole class, right, the fourth grade class, fifth grade class in Moriah, but only on one condition, that Shimon himself has not heard the Megillah or read the Megillah previously. If Shimon himself has read the Megillah previously, then he disqualifies himself. Again, it's only on a suffix. We're not sure about this, but for reading the Megillah on behalf of the other Ketan. Why? Because although there's a mitzvah of chinuch, the mitzvah of chinuch goes only so far. It doesn't pass over to what's called arvus. Arvus means I am responsible not just for myself, but for you as well. When it comes to a chinuch of a katan, the katan has to worry about himself. It's a very selfish kind of mitzvah. Chinuch means you prepare yourself for those mitzvahs that you'll be obligated in after your bar mitzvah day. But you're not obligated in arvus. You don't have to run around and see to it that Yenum has to fulfill his obligation. And then afkamina is going to be whether we apply the principle of yotza motzi to a katan. Yotza means he already fulfilled his obligation. He has discharged his duty of chinuch, and we don't know if he could be motzi anyone else. We're not sure about it, because we're not sure if he is part of what's called arvus kol Yisrael arev mizel bazeh. Chinuch doesn't go that far. So again, can Shimon read it on behalf, the Megillah on behalf of all the members of his class? The answer is yes. Can he read it on behalf of his class if he already heard the Megillah? The answer is, we're not sure about it, and therefore we're not going to allow it to go on.
So what about women?
Oh, so in the case of women, he says the following, that all women are in the same category, so one woman could be motzi another woman, even if she has already discharged her duty, and now he's assuming that she is included in arvus. L'chora, imi kfar yotzi yidei chovosa. Ah. Wow.
He says no.
He's not sure about arvus. This is wild. This is a shita of the Rosh, I think he's quoting. The Rosh has a radical shita that women are not included in arvus. Now, arvus is derived from har grizim and har evil, and there it was given to the men and not to the women. So if that be the case, a woman can read the Megillah on behalf of another woman, but only if she, the reader, has not fulfilled her obligation. But if she's already discharged her duty, and she's already read the Megillah, she heard the Megillah from a gadol, she cannot read the Megillah on behalf of another woman. So if you have an expert kora'ah, with a hey at the end, a female who's excellent at kriyas ha-Megillah, if she wants to read Megillah on behalf of the other women, that's fine, but only on one condition, that's the first round for her. But for her to run around and say, you know, I'm going to go to the hospital, to the women's ward, you know, and there's a women's hospital called Herzog, if you ever heard of it, but it doesn't matter. I mean, and she's going to read the Megillah for the women. And so she's hopping from one ward in the hospital, from one room in the hospital to another. That's very nice. She's a good Samaritan. But according to the Mishnah Berurah, for one, she cannot be motzi other women. She can only be motzi women on the first round. Let's read it again. And here he says, "V'noshim l'chora imhi kvar yotza yidei chavasa eino motzia le'isha acheres." Now let's hold on to that bir aloch, and let's fast forward to the Mishnah Berurah that we're in now. And he says at the end of Sifkat Zayin, "Aval isha motzia es chaverta." Now he doesn't qualify that; it's a little bit misleading.
Whether she's right or not,
correct. And now we're going to have to add another piece here, like a footnote to this Mishnah Berurah. Ayin bir aloch on the first side of the page, and you have to add the precondition that she has not read the Megillah herself. Now let's just see in Charetziyim Tesvav if he points this out. Avol noshim l'noshim rabos eino ish motziyim. Oh boy! Now he complicates matters. Even if it's the first round for her, if she gathers together a great audience of women, again I don't know how many women in the audience, what the number is. But he says that's not covered. That's Zila Bar Milsa.
Where are you reading
it? I'm reading the Charetziyim Tesvav.
Okay.
Let's circle.
I've experienced there are places, shuls that have women's reading and women reading.
So for some reason, again, he's quoting a Carpenter Sanel. You know who the Carpenter Sanel was? His name was Weil. Yeah, I have a good friend, Aryeh Weil. Have you heard of him? He's Rav in... Ramot, in one of the five Ramots, I forget which one. So he's the Rav of that shul. He's a great, great grandson of the Carbon Nisanel, whose name was Carbon Nisanel Weil. It's a famous German family. In fact, recently they had a gathering of the whole Weil family in Austria, I think, I forget where, and hundreds of people came. It was written up in all the papers. So that's the Carbon Nisanel. So he quotes here in the Charetziyim, a Carbon Nisanel who's not excited about women reading Megillah for many, many women. But he doesn't tell you how many. He calls it Rabos, Noshin Rabos.
Now this was back then. If we looked in the Surah Durbanan, which was more contemporary.
Oh, you mean the... You don't mean the Surah Durbanan. I think you mean... what's it called? The... Sohar rabbis. Yeah. Sohar, I think it's called.
No. There's a halachic site for now.
That I'm not familiar with. But there's a rabbinic organization called Sohar.
No, I wasn't looking.
You know, they're a little bit towards the... I wouldn't say Riverdale, but they're on the way to Riverdale. Yeah. They're somewhere between Riverdale and Manhattan. I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah. So the Sohar rabbis maybe would allow women to read the Megillah.
No, there's a halachic site compendium now. But,
it's probably on the Tzohar Rabban if it's written by anyone who's worth their soul.
Mizrahi is promoting it. I mean, not
so Mizrahi. Yeah, because Mizrahi, the official recognized rabbinic body of Mizrahi, I think, is Tzohar. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, okay.
So, for example, next door you have a rabbi called Rabbi Benny Lau. He's one of the forefront members of Tzohar Rabban. There are many other Rabbanim who are in Tzohar. I think even Rav Stern at one point was part of Tzohar. He's the chief rabbi of Jerusalem. I'm not sure where he's holding today, but so this is all this is all politics, which I don't want to.
Yeah, and I didn't mean to distract.
But I'm just saying that the Carbon Asylum quoted here is a little bit sour on the idea of women reading the Megillah publicly on behalf of the other women. I'm not sure what publicly means. Is it another 5 women, 10 women, 1,000 women? I don't know.
Would there be any non-communal? The night reading or day reading?
So that's going to be my shiur at 11:45 today, actually. Let me leave that out for now, because that depends on what's called the Sefer Rokeach, who insists that the main reading of the Megillah is at night. So we'll see if we accept the Rokeach. So again, what we want to underline here in the Mishnah Berurah number Zion is that an isha motzia es chaverta. Mm-hmm. But again, if we take that in conjunction with the bir halacha, it's only if she's on her first round. Because he says explicitly, l'chora, in the bir halacha, again going back, imhi kvar yotza yidei chavasa, she's already read the Megillah, or heard the Megillah, eino motzia le'isha acheres. And that's even one-on-one. And the same thing applies to Katan. Again, Katan Le'ish, I understand that a Katan doesn't even share the same Chiyuv as a woman. And, but then he says, L'Katan Acher. It sounds like he's saying that a Katan who's reading on behalf of the Katan, if he's already read the Megillah or heard the Megillah, that's it. He doesn't have Arus. Okay, that's what I asked you, Phil, to remind me. So thank you for reminding me, because I definitely would have forgotten.
I wrote it down.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Now we get to the Rambam. The Rambam says, Yesh omrim im ha'isha kora li'atzma mivareches lishma megillah. Now we get to the Bahag. This is the real Bahag, because initially the Mishnah Berurah was applying Kavanat Tzibur with a low plug, you remember? But then the Mishnah Berurah introduced the real Bahag. The real Bahag says that women are obligated in Shmiah but not in Kriya. Says the Rambam, that's going to have to reflect itself in the Bracha. Because the Bracha is Asher Kitshanu Mitzvot V'Tzimonal Kriya Samegillah, or Likra Samegillah, depending on your Girsa. But it certainly emphasizes the Kriya itself. However, if you're reading only on behalf of a woman, or for example, she's reading on behalf of herself, she's got to reflect the change in Chiyuv into the change in the Nusach HaBracha. The Matbea HaBracha is no longer Kriya HaMegillah, but rather Shmiya HaMegillah, and therefore she should make the Bracha Lishma HaMegillah. And by the way, we have something absolutely parallel in Shofar. I'd be curious to know if the Mishnah Berurah mentions that. I don't see it. But anyway, even without the Mishnah Berurah, I can tell you that we have something in Shofar as well, where the Rambam says that if you're blowing Shofar on behalf of a woman, you yourself were Yotzei already Shofar, now you're just blowing on behalf of a woman, then the bracha should be Lishma Kol Shofar, or Al Shmias Kol Shofar. Now again, Rabbi Natan's sheet is that in Shofar make a bracha on Tkia Shofar, but in the case of a woman, it should be Al Shmias Shofar.
We're learning in the halachos of Hanukkah. Mm-hmm. You said there, if a woman is saying the bracha and she's not at least there are others who are commanded to in the mitzvah. So we say it's a low plug there because
you're talking about the nusach bracha of Ner Hanukkah. Honestly, Ruben, I don't. All I can tell you is that in Ner Hanukkah, to the best of my knowledge, women are obligated exactly as men, and I don't see why there should be any reflection in the change of the nusach.
Change in nusach.
Oh, but what?
What was the answer? The answer was the bracha is in the rabbin. Because there are others that are commanded, maybe not her, like Nitilat Mulav, by Ashkenazi women would say they make the Baracha on Nitilat Mulav, because they're permitted because it's the Baracha is in the Rabbim. Ashkenazi Shani, the Mitzvah Tzavitzim.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. But yeah, let's just go over the basics. As far as Hanukkah is concerned, this whole discussion about Rabim and Yochid and so forth is irrelevant. Women have the same identical obligation as men. Now, as far as the mitzvah seishas man groma, where Rabbeinu Tam and the Ashkenaziot follow that minig that she can make a bracha on an optional mitzvah, on a voluntary mitzvah, like for example shofar or lulav. So how do we understand the Asher Kitshanu Mitzvoso Vitzivanu? How could she say Mitzivanu when she's not obligated? And that's why the Rambam throws out Rabbi Natan. He rejects Rabbi Natan, who allows women to make a bracha. And the answer is because it's in the plural. Asher kidshanu biv mitzvosav. And she's referring to men, because men have this mitzvah. Okay, that's good. Now, in the case of Mikra Megillah, she shares the mitzvah of Megillah with men, and therefore, afein hoyibosanes applies. But here the Rambam wants a difference in the Nusach HaBracha because she's not obligated in Kriyas HaMegillah, which is reflected in the Matbea Shel Bracha. She's only obligated in Shmiyas HaMegillah. That's the Shita Sabahag. So the Rambam says, according to the Bahag, how can she make a Bracha Likrosas HaMegillah or Al Kriyas HaMegillah? She's not obligated in Kriyas HaMegillah.
What about the other Purim mitzvot?
The other what?
The other mitzvot of Purim in terms of Suda and...
I don't think there's any difference between a man and a woman, even according to the Bahag, in terms of Purim. The only difference is one minor, but again, an important difference is that Kriya Samagil is obligatory on men. Shmiya Samagil without Kriya Samagil is obligatory on women. A woman cannot be motzi a man. And now the Ramah adds to boot that a woman should not recite the bracha on Kriya Samagil, but rather on Shmiya Samagil. That's all I know. As far as the bulk and the remainder of the laws of Purim is concerned, I don't believe that anyone would differentiate between a man and a woman. The only thing is, again, this is a tznius issue, and I don't want to get into it now, it has to come under a separate topic about adlo yada, where women have to get drunk on Purim. So that's a tznius issue, but it fundamentally, there's no difference between a man and a woman, even as far as getting drunk on Purim. Fundamentally, you know, it's conceptual. There may be practical reasons why a woman should not get drunk on Purim. But well, I don't want to get into that whole discussion. Okay. But I think it's fair for us to assume that women share the same obligation as men on Purim, with the exception of the Bahag vis-a-vis Kriyas HaMegillah, and that's going to reflect itself according to the Ramah, not only in her not being motzi a man, but even in her Nusach HaBroch. So you take a look in the Mishnah Berurah number Ches. He writes, that's the last of the skinny of the thinner lines. He says, "V'ayim b'mongin Avram shemitzadim d'lo tikra li'atzma klal rak tishma me'anoshim." So he quotes a Mogen Avram, which ostensibly makes no sense, that a woman should not be reading the Megillah herself. She should hear it from a man. He says, "Kol zeh b'mishi yesh lo mimil shmo, aval im ein lo sheikra fneh tikra." That's very, you know, she has the luxury of hearing the Megillah from a man, that's fine. If she doesn't have that luxury, then she'll read it for herself. And her nusach habrach would be l'shmo amikra Megillah, but not likros as a Megillah or al kriya as a Megillah.
I wonder if that's, if the women's groups actually make that change to the nusach.
I hope they do. But I would ask you a different question. Why should a woman hear it from a man? We just finished establishing that a woman could read it for another woman. They both share the same chiyuv. And not only that, he says that she shouldn't read it for herself. You know, even if you'll tell me that, like the Rosh, that there's no arvus, but, you know, this has nothing to do with arvus. I mean, she's reading the Megillah for herself. Why?
So she is going to read it, she needs to make sure there are other women there?
No. That's not the point. She shouldn't read the Megillah for herself. As I state in Melgen Avram, she should hear it from a man. My high. I mean, what?
Because
again, Mimarashah. Let's go back to the Mechaber himself. The Mechaber himself says that Nashim Chayovas B'mikra Megillah. It's only in the Eish Omrim he quotes an opinion, which is the opinion of the Bahag, that a woman can't be motzi a man. So let's go back to the Mechaber before he quotes the Bahad. Women have the same obligation as a man, both Kriya and Shmiya. So why shouldn't she read it for herself? And if you're going to tell me because of the Bahag, so the Bahag says that she's not Chayav in Kriya at all, she's only Chayav in Shmiya. So she can set up a Kriya. So the only thing that occurs to me is that for some reason the Magen Avraham thinks that she has to hear it from a Kriya, meaning she can't create a Kriya. You remember we discussed this before when we were talking about the possibility of let's say a Katan, you know, being Motzi a Gadol, so maybe he can't create a Kriya. Or for example, if you hold that a Cheresh who's deaf, but he could read, but then according to the Mechaber, he's chayav in reading in the Megillah. He's not chayav in hearing the Megillah, and he can't be motzi a gadol because a pikach, because he's got a different chiyuv of pirsum anes, and he can't create a kriya that has a pirsum anes. In the case of an isha, her kriya is a kriya of pirsum anes. And she hears the Megillah. Why shouldn't she be able to read the Megillah for herself? I don't know. I'm at loss here to understand this Mogen Avraham. Again, if the Mogen Avraham would have said that it's better for a woman to hear the Megillah from a public reading of the Megillah, do you follow what I'm saying? Not a private reading. That I can understand. Because only the man could read the Megillah publicly and achieve the mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes. So she should link into this kiyum of Pirsum HaNes of Barov HaMadras Melech and hear his Megillah reading. But presumably the Magen Avraham is talking about a private reading of the Megillah. He's talking about a woman reading the Megillah for herself. She's not in shul. So what, she should tell her husband to read the Megillah for her on her behalf? Like, why? Why can't she read the Megillah for herself?
But obviously we're going to follow the Mishnah Berurah in terms of...
Well, again, the Mishnah Berurah quotes the Magen Avraham. I assume he's worried about the Magen Avraham.
It says, I mean, you know, so we're going to follow, we're going to minimally, we can feel comfortable following that.
You mean, let me formulate your question in a question form. If the Mishnah Berurah is quoting the Magen Avraham in Sifkat and Ches, who says that she shouldn't read it for herself, then obviously she shouldn't be reading it for another woman. So how can the Mishnah Berurah at the end of Sifkat Zion, say that Isha Motziah is Chaverta? There seems to be like a contradiction between Zion and Ches over here.
Ask your local rabbi.
Just 1 second, give me a minute. Ain't love Misha Yiko Fanatikahili Atzma. She should hear it from a man, but if she doesn't have a man's reading available, she'll read it for herself. But before this, he just finished saying that a woman could read it for another woman.
And if a woman, another woman, can't hear it from a man, but there's a woman there reading it.
Ah, so again, you could stoop in the Magen Avraham into what he says before, that Aisha Motziah Sakhavert means there's no man available. Yeah. I don't know that that's what the Mishnah Berurah is saying.
The Be'er Heitiv, La'atzma, he writes here.
He quotes the Magen Avraham?
No, the Midrash. Nalan Ruth Katab Dolo Tikra Latzma Rak Tishma
Bahashim. Ah, very good. It's based on a Medrash Nelam in Rus.
What's a Medrash Nelam?
Medrash Nelam, there are certain Midrashim that were not accessible. You know, they were sort of like handed down clandestinely, you know, the secret Medrash. That's a Medrash Nelam. And he says, Dolo Tikra Li Atzma Kak Tishma Me Ha'anoshim. So that must be the source for the Magen Avraham. But again, why the Major Shnelem insists that she should hear it from a man, I don't know. Ah, I have an idea. Again, what I'm about to tell you is probably not the Major Shnelem, but anyway, I think it's a good idea unto itself. That a man is obligated to publicize the miracle amongst as many people as he can, men, women, and children. So if the woman has an option of either hearing it from a man or reading it for herself, she should opt for the former and forego her own reading, because she now facilitates not only her own personal mitzvah, but his mitzvah to publicize the miracle. So her chiyuv is only to hear the Megillah reading. She doesn't have that chiyuv of reading it for the public, but he has a chiyuv to read it for the public. So therefore, if she comes to hear his reading of Megillah, she's doing him a favor, because she's enhancing his mitzvah of pirsumanes. Now again, I'm not going to tell you that's what the Medrash Nelam had in mind, but I think it does have its own logic.
So you think what a woman would say, who says, why should I enhance his mitzvah when I can...
Well, again, because she doesn't lose anything. Now, again, you always have to weigh the options. If, let's say, he's reading the Megillah on the other side of the city and she'll have to take a helicopter to get there on time, or she won't be able to take care of her children. You know, she has little babies. You know what I'm saying? That's something different. But I'm saying, if all things are equal, she's a woman of 50 years old, the man is reading the Megillah next door in the shul, and she's a big shot. She says, I want to read it for myself. So technically, there's no problem. But the Medrash Nela might be saying that you're stealing from the audience. We don't want to diminish the audience. And if he could read it on her behalf and therefore she adds something to the audience, then that's the best way of doing it.
I got it.
Now again, you know, she may also benefit from this. It's not purely selflessness, because if she hears it from him, then she also dips into this enhancement of Pirsmanes of Barov
Amadim. Part of a higher.
But I'll tell you the truth. You know what? Even though what I said I think might be right, but it's not the pshat in the Mishnah Berurah. I'll tell you why. Because the Mishnah Berurah is talking about a case of a woman who is alone. Just 1 second. Let me just think. Havel isha motzias es chaverto. And then he writes, eino lo tikro li atzmo. Should not read it for herself, but raksha tishma meha noshim. You see, I'll be honest with you, my pshat is good, but it's not the Mishnah Berurah, because the Mishnah Berurah is talking about a woman who's alone, and she has two options. She could either tell her husband or another man to read the Megillah on her behalf, or she could read it for herself. And I think that has nothing to do with what I said. I said that by her hearing the Megillah, she enhances his kriya of pirsum. That's only in the shul. That's only in a public reading, not in a private reading.
She probably wouldn't be able, she can't be with him anyway in a private reading.
What do you mean?
I mean, let's say it was just
It's not her husband, you mean? It's another man?
Yeah, let's say it was somebody coming.
So she has to leave the door open.
She was homebound, you know.
So she maybe they'd have to leave the door open because of the Issa Yichud, but there's no other issues here. Unless I go even a step further and I say the following, that the mitzvah on a man to publicize the miracle applies even if there's only one other person in the room. That also is a mitzvah kiyum of pirsum hanes. Now, pirsum hanes doesn't require that bombastic and very dramatic, yeah, you know, reading in the shul with 100 people in the audience, even if he's reading it in the presence of one other person. I'll give you an example. I don't know if you've ever seen this. Have you ever seen a person come into shul, walk over to you or to somebody else and say, I'm going to read Birchas HaShachar and I want you to say Amen to my bracha? Have you ever seen that? You never saw it?
Yes.
It happens very often. My shver has that minute. He'll call me over when he wants to read, even in the house, when he wants to recite the Birchas HaShachar. The real reason for that is because of Amen. That there's a double mitzvah in Amen, not only to recite Amen, but also to set up an Amen for someone else. And that's an enhancement of the mitzvah. So therefore, I don't want to read the Birchas HaShachar for myself if I can avoid it. I want to give you an opportunity to recite Amen. And that enhances my kiyum mitzvah. Now that applies in the four walls of a private room. That if I'm waking up in the morning and I'm about to and we are both in the same room and I'm about to read recite the Birchas HaShachar, I'm going to ask you to listen and say Amen. That has nothing to do with the public eye. That's even in the private. And if we transpose that kind of thing to Mikra Megillah, it could be that my mitzvah, if possible, is to read the Megillah for someone else. So let me give you an example. Reuven is in one room. Shimon is in another room. And here are the options. Option number one is Reuven will read the Megillah for himself. Shimon will read the Megillah for himself. The other option is they join forces and Reuven will read on behalf of not only himself but also on behalf of Shimon or vice versa. Maybe they could even divide up the kriya into parts. I would say let's go for the second one. Why? Because the mitzvah is not just to read the Megillah but to read the Megillah in front of someone else. Like we saw in Ner Chanukah, a man comes home from his work at a very late hour and the poskim will advocate that he gets together his whole family, even though his family already heard and participated in a hadlakas Ner Chanukah earlier. Let's say his wife lit on time, you know, Mishish Tishka Chama. He should still gather together. There's even a posek who will say that he should wake up the family from the bed if he comes at 1 in the morning. And the reason for that is because my mitzvah pirsum is to publicize it in front of others. Even though these others are not a minion. You know, we're not talking about a full minion. Okay, Rabbi Osei, so let's make a note of where we got to. And we're up to Sif Gimel on page 306. Okay then? And that's very complicated. 306.
This was also in the end.
Yeah.